It's the Wex Appeal Podcast. Barbells, beats, and buffoonery.
3, 2, 1, go!
Here we go.
Dope conversations.
Damn, that's my Genghis Khan.
Where fitness, pop culture, and a lot of random buffoonery collide.
I'm coming for you.
It's ridiculous, really.
Hashtag space war.
But amusing.
Wex, you laugh least at me, so you get to go next.
Here's your host, Wex.
I was going to say I blacked out during the explanation. I just heard space war.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of the Wex Appeal Podcast, Barbells, Beats, and Buffoonery. I've got some just great news. I mean, we've had a lot of things going on this past week, past couple weeks. And if you haven't got a chance to go back and listen to the last episode, episode 68, with the guys from Hero Barbell Company, they very graciously offered a promo code. If you put in Wex Appeal on their website, they will give you 10% off of your barbell. It's a one-time use only code for, you know, one per person, but you can get 10% off, get a barbell, get a gear. But man, get hooked up. Go check out Hero Barbell Company. You can find them on Instagram, Free Hero Barbell on Instagram. Go like, follow, share, and use the code WEXAPPEAL to get 10% off. Very, very thankful for those guys for doing that. I've got a bar on the way, actually. I can't wait. So check it out. And that was very nice of them to do that. So thank you once again to Frank and Greg for that promo code. My guest today, I am just beside myself. I've been trying to get her on the show for a while, just timing and things like that, but very happy to bring back into the public eye and it back to the podcast scene and welcome Sammy Moniz to the podcast. It's her first appearance on a podcast or like on any type of interview since having the baby. And I was very honored that she decided to come on the show. And we talked about how life has changed since having a baby, how, you know, kind of balancing everything with her role with HWPO training. And if you didn't know, you know, her significant other, Mr. Matt Fraser, the 5-time fittest man on earth, you know, just kind of balancing all of that with, you know, with having a brand new baby and how they are adapting as parents and just loving every stage of having a baby. It's awesome. Their daughter is beautiful. And so congratulations to both of them for just having a beautiful new human on the earth. It's just awesome. So we have a great conversation. We talked about everything from, you know, of course, having the baby, life changes, HWPO training and her role with them and how that's kind of evolved since the start. And also, you know, kind of everything during the games where she was at home hoping to not have a baby because Matt was at the games coaching and, you know, kind of everything that went around with that. And we also go all the way back to her college years of being a DJ, a wedding DJ. You definitely want to stick around for those stories. And also if there's going to be a Feeding the Frasers 2 book. So check it out. I cannot wait. Listen to the episode. Put your feedback in the comments. If you're watching it on YouTube or Spotify, you're going to notice that I'm actually in a different location. Now, let's talk about that. I was actually down in Miami at Peak 360. That's where I was actually able to record and talk to her. But the man, Peak 360, the reason I was down there is because we are relaunching the Tier Wadapalooza podcast. Myself and Guido Trinidad are spearheading the brand new show that's coming back out, and we're going to be releasing weekly new episodes and all sorts of information coming from Wadapalooza, from you know, the Tier Wadapalooza group, and being able to do interviews and talk about kind of the beginning, where the future leads with California. We're just going to have a great time on that show, and I cannot wait to share it with you even more. The first episode is coming out very soon, so I got to go down, hang out at the gym. I did Chad 1000X at at the Friday class with Peak 360. I did it without a weight vest and without a ruck because I've done it with the ruck and it almost killed me. It was really tough, but got my workout in. Still sore days and days later, but it was a great time with the community and hanging out with them. If you don't recognize the name Peak 360, that's actually where Noah Olson trains. Annika Greer, many other games athletes have come through there. You've seen their episodes on the Buttery Bros. I'm sure you've seen the gym and things like that. So got to hang out there. It was a lot of fun and got to hang out with Guido and talk to him. And man, we're making this this podcast big, so it's going to be a great time. So I'm very excited to share that with you. Before we get into today's episode, of course, we always want to talk about sponsors. The sponsors of this show, the Strong Coffee Company, one of my favorite ways to wake up. My kids actually have it down to a science where you know, they wake up and they're like, "Hey, Dad, you want a cup of coffee?" And even they can make it. Get the hot water, they pour a scoop in, mix it up, stir it up with a little frother. They bring it in, nice little coffee, you know, as I'm waking up. I love the hazelnut mocha. I love their vanilla latte. They're coming out with a new Christmas flavor. Cannot wait to try that out and check that out. Just, I love everything that they do. They've got collagen protein, MCT oil, Neurofactor in every single scoop. So it not only energizes you, gives you that caffeine kick, but it, you don't crash and you're getting actually healthy proteins to just start your day. There's no better way to start your day than with Strong Coffee Company. So go check it out. Use my code WEXAPPEAL, all caps, to get 15% off your order. Do it. Get hooked up. Get yourself a coffee mug. I've got mine back here somewhere. I don't know where it went, but I've got my coffee mug that I drink my coffee in, and just love it, all their stuff that they have. You can also get their new gummies that they just dropped. Their gummies, you pop two gummies in the middle of the day, and that's like another cup of coffee on the go. It's awesome. So check it out. StrongCoffeeCompany.com. Use the code WEXPL for 15% off. I am still on the Thunderbro kick. 90 days was not enough for me. I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to keep it moving. I dropped 25 pounds. I'm stronger. I'm faster. I have more endurance. Like, everything has come up in my fitness level since joining Thunderbro. And I want you to join that too. They're always doing 30-day challenges. They're doing 90-day shred challenges. Use code WEXAPPEAL to get yourself a free month of programming. And you get to, you know, sit down, talk to Dave, get a meal plan. Myself and Sean Woodland are both doing it and going back and forth and talking about it. And Sean Woodland is crushing it. He's got those just Python arms. But I'm hoping to get there one day. When I grow up, I'm going to be like Sean Woodland, all jacked. But he and I are both going back and forth, talking back and forth about Thunderbro and you know, the results that we're doing and tips and tricks and things like that. And we're having a great time. So I highly recommend get over to thunderbro.com, thundrbro.com. Use the code WEXAPPEAL. Get yourself 20% off of programming and stuff. So get hooked up with Thunderbro. Finally, blackoutbarbell.com, or actually, sorry, not blackoutbarbell.com, blackoutbarbell.shop. It's Christmas time. I know we got Thanksgiving first, but it's the Christmas season. It's the holiday season. What better way to hook up your friends and loved ones than with awesome new shirts, shorts, gear from blackoutbarbell.shop. Use code WEXPEAL to get 10% off your order. I love their shirts. I love their shorts. I worked out in it today. They got the 5-inch inseam with the short liner on the inside. So you feel good, get those gains. I was able to do the deadlifts and do all those things, man. I love them. Get hooked up with it. Blackoutbarbell.shop. Use code WEXAPPEAL for 10% off. And I've got a special announcement for the WEXAPPEAL listeners. If you listen to the last episode, episode 58, with Frank and Greg from Hero Barbell Company, they graciously gave us a 10% off promo code, one time per use for, you know, one per customer. Use the code WEXAPPEAL and get yourself 10% off of your order. So you can go get a barbell. You really want to tell someone you love them, get them a barbell. Go to herobarbell.com. Go check them out. They've got amazing products. And Colton Mertens is sponsored by them. Andrea Nissler is sponsored by them. And they have custom barbells. So go check it out. Use the code WEXAPPEAL to get 10% off. They're not a sponsor of the show per se, but they graciously gave us a discount code for the listeners. So go check it out. Hero Barbell Company, or you can go on Instagram, Free Hero Barbell, and check them out. Give them a follow. Give them a like. And use that code WEXAPPEAL for 10% off. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, my guest today is Sammy from HWPO Training. She is the chief brand officer. She is the sweetest person in the world, and they have a brand new baby, her and Matt Fraser, the 5-time fittest man on earth. And I was just, like I said, just absolutely had a great time chatting with her. So I hope that you enjoy, ladies and gentlemen, Sammy Moniz. All right, everybody, welcome to the show. And my guest today is Sammy Moniz. Welcome Hello. To the show. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. It's been a long time in the works of getting you on the show, and happy to have you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and doing this. And you know, we were kind of like talking a little bit off camera, but how are you doing? And how is life? It's all sorts of big changes, and let's walk through it. Let's jump into it.
I mean, doing great. It's hard. I think that's kind of like what we were just saying is that everything is so new. It's so new and it's so exciting and it's so challenging. And I think, you know, being the type of people that we are, where it's like, if we just work really hard at this, it'll be easier, or it will get easier. And it's just kind of not like that. With something like this, you know, like with every little evolution in her tiny little person, it's like you gain something, but you lose something. And so it's such a contradiction of being so excited for the next little step or the next little thing, or you watch her recognize herself in the mirror or recognize you, but then you lose the little newbornness. And like I was just saying, it's exciting. You know, the other night she slept through the night and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I've had a handful of very sleep deprived weeks. But she's so sweet. It's like I go in the middle of the night and she's not screaming, crying. She's literally like calling out. So I go in to soothe her. And it's so hard to like be upset at the fact that I'm up at 3 a.m. when she looks at you over the crib and she's like, oh, you came. It's you. You know, she's the sweetest little thing. So it's exciting that, you know, she's taking these steps of sleeping through the night. But then, oh, I miss those, you know, midnight, 3 a.m. cuddles, snuggles, nursing. So yeah, it's been great. It's just, I think I'm a type of person that likes to be in control, and I have a very tiny little boss now that controls me. Yes. So that is a new thing.
Yeah, I have 4 of them. Yes. And you know, like we said, you know, it doesn't get easier as they get older. You know, they start developing those personalities, and it's funny because you see all the things that you love about them, and then they start to mimic you and you're like, oh, I don't like that. Like, oh, wait, I do that.
Yeah, got to keep myself in check.
That's me. That's me, or that's my wife, or, you know.
Yeah, for
have
sure.
Have you started to see little things where it's like, oh, that's definitely me, or that's definitely Matt, whether it's like a look or, you know, things like.
What's funny is I still don't even see like who she looks like. I can't tell. If I don't post a ton on social, but like I'll post something and people will be like, oh my God, she looks just like you here. And then in that same photo, I get responses of, oh my God, she looks so much like Matt. I just see cute baby. Man, she is just freaking cute to me. I just see cute baby. I don't see like Matt or me. So it'll be exciting when she does start to get some of those like little features. But yeah, she's got like a bunch of little dimples around, and I kind of have some of these, like, they're not super dimply, but they're more like smile lines. And she's got, I swear she's got like 7 when she lights up, her whole face lights up, and it is just the sweetest. So,
well, yeah. I've seen some of the pictures that you've posted, and just adorable. Like I'm so happy for you guys. It is absolutely cool to see, you know, kind of that whole evolution and to see her come up and see. You know, I love that you guys don't post like a lot, because I feel like a lot of times people are so quick to just post everything. It's like, no.
It's really hard not to, I will say, because it's just like, man, she's so cute. Y'all got to see this.
Exactly. But, you know, I like to hold on to some of those moments, and, you know, I'm very careful about, you know, trying to post too much and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you guys post them, I'm like, me and my wife just sit there and we're like, aw. Remember when ours were cute and little and now they're big and terrorists?
Yeah. Well, what's crazy too is like our friends, they have a 5-month-old, and to see the difference between, you know, 2 months and 5 months, it's like, it's so astronomical right now. Whereas, you know, they'll grow up together and they'll be the same age.
Yeah.
Right now it is so different. But the cool thing was, is like, we only see her, and she's really the only baby that we're around on a regular basis. None of our friends locally have kids right now, or if they do, they're older. So we see one baby all the time. So then to spend time with another baby, we're like, oh, good. 5 months old, they're still baby. Because we see her grow up and we're like, oh my gosh, she's not a baby anymore. And it's like, she is still very much a baby.
Yes.
And then to see the 5-month-old and be like, okay, 5 months old is still very much a baby. We're not like as quickly as it feels like it's passing, we still get these times. They're not gone yet, because they feel like they're fleeting. All of a sudden, like I said, with one new thing, you lose something. And so it's so exciting and sad at the same time. You're forever in this like tug of war of emotions. But I will say, I feel like this is the coolest role to ever be in. Like, I've worn a lot of hats over the years. I love being a mom, and I feel like I'm a part of like a cool crowd. I'm like, oh, you're a parent. I'm cool. I'm a parent now. I'm cool, right? Like, I just feel like I joined this group of people that, you know, especially connecting with other moms, it's like, oh, I'm in the mom crowd now. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's such a badge of honor.
Well, and it's funny because you relate to people in such a different way that you never could have before.
Right.
And then you feel like you're disconnected from some people because they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I'm like, really? Do you have a kid? No, you don't.
I know. It's so true. Yeah. And I mean, I was there at one point, right? Like, before I had kids, I'm like, oh, I wonder, you know, people talk about like, what's the big deal? I hear, you know, of course, social media is what it is, and everyone has their good times and their bad times. And some of the things, it's like, man, I didn't even get to shower today. And I remember before being like, what's the big deal without like, what does everybody go crazy about not getting a shower in that day? Right. And now, and every phase is so different, where it's like, when she was 1 month old, man, she slept all the time. I'm like, wow, it was kind of easy. Right. Like, and then it's like, now she's 2 months old and she's not sleeping all the time, which is awesome because she's so aware and so active and so like alert and fun. But then it's like, I didn't get to shower today because we were playing. And then it was, you know, getting her down for a nap and feeding, and I'm breastfeeding. And so it's like, you know, when she needs me, she needs me. And
yeah,
if there's a pot on the stove, I got to call over and be like, hey, Matt, can you stir that pot? Whereas before, like, that was, you were able to manage more things at a time. And I'm sure my capacity will grow with that as I, you know, as she grows and as I just get a couple more reps under my belt. But yeah, it's wild.
And it's funny because they get to the stage where they need you for everything, and or the opposite, like you need to do something and you're like, okay, well, I can set them there. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
And then they start to become mobile.
Yes. It's like a whole other thing.
Oh no, you were right there and now you're gone. Like, mm-hmm. it is a whole different aspect.
Yeah.
And seeing you guys kind of, you know, relate back and forth, how have you, you know, grown to see Matt kind of take on the father role? He looks like he could not be happier. You know, the pictures.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
He is the sweetest. It is really cool. I think that's like a whole other side, right? Like, you created this human and you get to look at them and you're like, oh my gosh, I made you, right? Every once in a while, we'll be holding her and we'll be like, we made that. But it's the same thing. Like, I watch him with her and I'm like, oh, I genuinely did not realize that I could love you anymore. Or it's so cool to see a whole other side of him. You know, not many people get to see that side of him. I've seen it for years. Obviously, he treats me with the most tender, loving side of himself. Most people have seen his rough and toughness on the competition floor, but he's definitely a lot more than that. And it's so sweet to see him with her. And oh man, he is going to thrive, especially when she is like of play age. He's like dying to play, right? And she's obviously just like a little mush right now.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for him. Obviously, we're all trying to get in as many cuddles as we can. But yeah, I can tell that he's like, we have a treehouse in the backyard that we inherited when we bought this property. And so he's like, oh, I can't wait for the treehouse and the creek in the backyard and all these things. And I'm like, you know, we have some time. It's probably not going to happen by next summer, but, you know, I'm excited for him.
That's awesome. And it's funny because I'm kind of in a stage. So the four kids are 14, 10, 6, and 3. So I'm kind of in
What a spread. Good for you guys.
It's wild. Cause my 14-year-old is at the point where she just kind of hates me and everybody. Like, it's that teenage, you know, that teenage age where they say the aliens come and, you know, abduct their brain and, you know, they'll bring them back somewhere around 21. I heard, you know, 21 they come back.
I am hopeful for you that she'll come back sooner.
Yeah. And you know,
I wasn't too terrible for too long.
we're trying, we're working on it, you know, to try and get that whole thing. But it's such a weird, you know, time where she's trying to figure herself out and she's getting into that independent stage where it's like, okay, well, she is, you know, we need to train her what it's like to be an adult. We need to get her, you know, ready to be independent at some point. And, you know, instead of being dependent on everybody. And then you've got the 10-year-old who is a completely different human. Like she, mm-hmm. like the two sisters could not be any more different than each other. And she's a, like the, my oldest is into horses. So anything to do with horses, riding, you know, camps, all that sort of stuff, she is all in.
That's super cool.
But she isn't really into anything else, you know, as far as like, you know, the other things our family's into. And, you know, but my 10 and 6-year-old are now like big into CrossFit and they're doing CrossFit and they're doing gymnastics and they're playing baseball and playing flag football. And the two of them just keep us like on edge all the time because they're playing sports literally every day.
That's wild.
It's such a fun time right now. Because my 6-year-old is actually getting to the point where he's like, not playing t-ball anymore. He's playing actual baseball.
He's playing baseball. Oh yeah, and, totally. Learning, it's like a whole different ball game, literally.
Oh, yeah. And he's learning rules and he's playing catcher and he's like, I want to be involved and I want to, you know, I want to.
They're not picking dandelions in the outfield anymore.
Oh no, no. He is, right. He's mad. He gets mad when he looks out and kids are playing with dirt, you know, and things like that. He's like, no, we need to be ready and play. He's 6. I'm like, come on, dude. Like,
yeah,
you know. Some of these
isn't that kids, wild how you can see the difference between even like the other 6-year-olds on the field where some just aren't there yet. Like they're still in that dirt playing, oh, look, the ball's coming my way. Whereas you have your kid who's like, it's game time. We're playing.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And he just thrives in it. He loves it. And then the 3-year-old is just a baby savage. He runs around and just, he literally at the ball field had his shirt over his head. I don't know if you watch Beavis and Butthead.
Oh my gosh,
You know, the cornholio. And he was running around a pole with his shirt over his head. It was hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
They're at such different stages and such different ages. So it's such a fun like journey to kind of look and see each one of them, you know, kind of progress.
Yeah. I'm one of 5 and there's a 10-year span. So the oldest was 10. And then there's like kind of the way that my family was, it's like there's the 3 older kids, there was a 4-year gap, and then the 2 younger kids. And we're all about a little less than 2 years apart. Okay. So yeah, it's been, I mean, I loved growing up in a big family. I think 4 constant, I think anything more than 3 is like, you're now starting to get into big family premise. And yeah, 5 was a ton of fun. I genuinely don't understand how my parents did it.
It's zoned in.
They did.
It's zone defense. It's like, okay, you take those, I'll take these, and we'll divide and conquer.
It's so true. And I remember too, like, you know, I was 6 when my little brother was born. I was old enough, like he was my baby. He was my real life baby doll. It was like, mom, I'll feed the baby. I'll change the baby. I'll hold the baby. Like I actually remember like holding my youngest brother. I thought it was the coolest thing to like imitate mom and like hold the baby on my hip. So I for sure wanted to be a mom for a really long time. And yeah, I just remember that part of being a part of a big family was like, at some point, like I'm sure your 14-year-old, you know, when your 3-year-old was born, was at least of the age where you're like, hey, I'm going to go hop in the shower. The baby's in the bouncer. Like, keep an eye, you know, like you kind of have little helpers around. So I remember that. And I thought that was the coolest thing about being a part of a big family was that there was this like, I'm sure it was helpful for my parents at times, maybe not all the time, but at times it was like you had a couple extra little hands.
So my wife popped on here and she said the key for survival is energy drinks.
Oh my goodness.
Coffee, lots of coffee and energy drinks.
Yeah, we actually we're taking a safe route. We've been splitting our coffee. We make half calf in the morning, so that way we can drink coffee all day long and not be like I'm not an anxious person. I have noticed that, you know, you're sleep deprived. You're always wondering like, is the baby going to nap or when is she going to get up? And you're trying to, you know, schedule a podcast or whatever. I'm like, please nap, please nap. So you have this like this light touch of anxiety over your all the time. I'm like, I want to sip coffee and enjoy it. I don't want to add to the anxiety. So we do half calf in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, but that way we can have another pot and maybe another pot and another pot if needed, right?
Yes, and yeah. And it does. There are days that it's just survival.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So like you worked out through the whole pregnancy, which was amazing. Yeah. And I know there was those few weeks before you guys posted that everybody was on edge, just like waiting. It was like,
yeah.
It was like when people are waiting for the king and, or the prince and princess over at in England, like waiting for the announcement. What was that like? You know, I'm sure your social medias and phones were blowing up. Is like, hey, you know, you've let all the important close people know, but then mm-hmm. everything's probably blowing up. Like, where, when, like, where's the baby?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was 15 days late. We'll call it late, right? Like arbitrary dates, sure. And who knows, but she came when she wanted. So she wasn't, she was late on our, once again, we try to control the situation. She's in control. So she was 15 days past my said due date. So there was that where, you know, of course I'm posting like 42 plus one and everyone's like, man, when are you going to have this baby? Had the baby. And yeah, I don't know. It was just something like you just get so wrapped up in it. And I was, not only was I healing and just kind of like adjusting, but you're just in this bubble that I was like, eh. I genuinely was like, they'll find out when we're ready. I was obviously super excited to share. I just had no like bandwidth for social media or anything like that. It was just, we were in such a bubble and it was so lovely. I'm so grateful that people were so interested. I do recognize that we led people on and we built up a lot of excitement and people love babies. Yes. And so sorry to everyone who anxiously waited, but thank you all for your patience.
Yeah, it was fun, you know, just kind of everybody watching and like, okay, I know the baby's,
oh, yeah.
baby's got to be here by now.
Like, our HWPO social media director was like, hey, I get questions daily and people are starting to post on and like comment on our stuff being like, is everything okay? You know? And I'm like, okay, we'll get something up, you know, like I didn't want people to think that something terrible had happened. So yeah, it was really sweet, but yeah, we recognized that we definitely strung people along for a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's all good. And listen, it's one of those things where it's like, take your time. You know, you have your whole life now to, mm-hmm. you know, to build, you know, to build this human and nurture and help and just be there for them. And before they are thrust into, you know, the public eye with everything that you guys do, hey, let's have this time to ourselves. So yeah. I actually was quite happy that you guys did that. It was nice, you know, although yeah, we wanted to know, but you know, it was nice
right.
to have that time.
Yeah, it was really sweet. I mean, we had family in town and it was just, man, those, like I said, those first couple of weeks, you're adjusting. And a lot of it is just like, I mean, they're not really doing much, truthfully. She slept for more hours than, I mean, you had to physically like unswaddle her, like touch her little cheeks, play with her little toes, wiggle her little arms just to wake her up to feed her.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember being like, okay, you know, my parents are of the generation of like, never wake a sleeping baby. And then now you move to like, no, you have to wake them up every 2 hours to feed them. And so you're like, wait, do I wake her up? Do I not wake her up? She's sleeping. And it takes a lot of effort to wake her up. Do we just let her sleep? You know, you're just, I mean, your whole day is just wrapped up with like, what do we do? What's right? What's wrong? And at some point you just kind of settle with like, you know what? She's happy and she's fed and she's safe and she's loved. And I just have to remind myself that on, you know, days where I'm a little sleep deprived and you're trying to like, okay, well, she got up at this time and I want to get her down for a nap. It's like, she'll let me know. You watch her. She starts yawning. Great. She's ready for a nap. She fusses. I don't know. Offer her the boob. Maybe she's hungry. You know, a lot of it is just kind of like, we have a little checklist and it's like, you go through the checklist. Nothing works. You start back up at the top. You go through the checklist again. And at some point, all of a sudden, it's like, wait, I tried feeding her, you know, 10 minutes ago and she didn't want it. Well, 10 minutes later, she might want it. You know, it's like,
oh yeah,
there's really there's no answers to the questions that we want. And so, yeah, sometimes it's just like, it's just a crapshoot and it's just, we just play and we hang and we feed and then we sleep, you know?
Yeah. So have you gotten back into kind of the flow of, you know, obviously, you know, you're a vital part of the HWPO crew, which they did a fantastic job even without you in, in Madison this past year.
I know.
Even though I had Matt O'Keefe on the show, you know, just before, and he's like, yeah, you know, she told us, you know, we need to make sure that we're in line and we do everything right. So they did a fantastic job, but
they did.
How much, I don't want to say anxiety, but that's kind of the only word for it. How much anxiety did you have that week? Just like, baby, stay in. Like, don't.
Oh, yeah.
Just not yet.
You know what's funny is I felt pretty good about that. I think I had more FOMO that I was missing than I did anxiety of like her coming. You know, we had some backup plans. I had a friend staying with me. Like, I felt pretty secure with that. Like, if she came, we had a plan. It was more the FOMO of like, that would have been my 10th. Like, I've been at the games for 10 years. This year would have been my 10th year. You know, my first time ever at the games, I was working for Reebok. I was helping run the CrossFit partnership for Reebok. So I built the Reebok store. I worked on, you know, activations. I was, you know, one of the key players in the wedding that Dave Castro officiated on, you know, in the tennis stadium. Like, I have my own history with the games. And then of course, you know, with Matt's career, I was always at the games. Now we have this business. I have so many projects that I was working on this year that came to life at the games. And it's so cool to have a rock star team that, I mean, it was incredible that I got to hand over these things and just know that they were going to get done, and they got done amazingly. And we showed up in such a cool way. It's more that I just had so much FOMO that, you know, you work on these projects for 6-4 months and I didn't get to see them come to life the same way. Obviously people were sending me updates every day, and all of our content on social was super helpful for me to be like, oh, okay, I'm kind of there. I got to see it all, but I didn't get to experience it the same. So it was really more the FOMO that set in. Once Matt left, the anxiety kind of, you know, I think the anticipation of him leaving and not being here. And then once he was gone and I was kind of like settled in with my friend here and, you know, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I had a great week. I sat on the beach and, you know, I was plenty occupied and got some good workouts in and just kind of rested and relaxed and whatnot. But yeah, I was bummed to miss it. Very proud of everybody and all the work that they did. And it was such a cool way to show up this year.
Yeah. And how was Matt's headspace? Like, I can't imagine. Like,
yeah, I think
babies do. And in the back of you, like, he seems like outside pretty cool, collected, like, and he's, you know, kind of got it all together, but I'm sure there was a little bit that was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. A part of him, you know, obviously, like, we all work really hard on this. He's, you know, dedicated to our athletes, like our whole, you know, our brand was there in such a big way. He obviously is the face of it, the, you know, the tagline, everything. It's kind of hard to run some of these things without him. But at the same time, I think that, you know, part of him was like, what am I doing? I have a baby on the way, you know, like, I should be with my wife and like, you know, I can't believe I'm not there. And what if, like, I think that was probably harder for him. We always talk about, like, we're so grateful throughout his whole career. You know, we've mastered the whole like partner and work partner. You know, I was able to travel with him throughout his entire career. We work really well together. Like, there's a lot that we do together, probably more so than most couples. And we always say that it's harder for the person that leaves than it is for the person that stays home. You feel that, like, well, I guess, I don't know. It's one or the other. Cause I do feel that it's hard being home when your person's not here. Cause it's a little empty and you're just, that person's off having fun and whatnot. But I definitely think that he was really struggling with not being here, and just, you know, his anxiety was probably higher than mine of what if I miss it, right? Like, I'm not going to miss the birth of our child. Yeah. It's going to happen. You know,
I am directly involved.
he could potentially miss it. So I'm sure that played a factor, as well as just missing the last few moments of us together as just us.
Yeah. So you've transitioned obviously into kind of this new role of mom and also still, you know, running HWPO. Mm-hmm. You know, how have you found the balance yet? Are you still finding that balance?
I'm actually still on maternity leave. Okay. So this is like my first little work thing back. I've been popping in and out for, we have, you know, some quarterly meetings, that have been on the calendar. So in September, she was a couple weeks old and, you know, came into the office. I've been in and out of the office, but nothing full time just yet. Yeah, I'm excited to get back. I think that it's so cool to see some of the things that, you know, were in planning stages or even just in like an idea phase before the games and then before my maternity leave. And, you know, with like Black Friday coming up, some campaigns we have for the end of the year and things like that, that I just kind of was like, hey, this is what I'd like to see. And then handed things over. And obviously with my leave, it's wild and so honored. I'm so impressed with the team to just see that, oh my gosh, it's all coming to life. So it's definitely super encouraging. I mean, that's the whole point of building a great team, is that if I can't trust that things aren't going to get done when I'm not there, well, there's a bigger problem, right? Like it shouldn't happen that way. Obviously there's, you know, there's the short term and then there's the long term. I can't be gone for forever, but it's great that, that I've been able to take the time that I have to focus on this and get my feet under me and just honestly enjoy it, before coming back.
Yeah. And so, and like, I think people have an idea that you just kind of run a little bit of everything. So what is the actual, like, is chief brand officer of HWPO mm-hmm. training, but what mm-hmm. is, you know, what's the day-to-day look like for you, you know, on that side?
Yeah. I mean, it used to be for sure. A little bit of everything, as did most of our team, you know, when it was just four of us and then six of us, like we all had so many roles. Now it's much more, you know, there's 18 or 20 full-time employees at HWPO now. So, which is awesome, incredible. And those roles are getting more and more defined. So I think we had aimed at the beginning of the year, obviously knowing that I was pregnant and the timing and things like that, to take my role and condense it and really put key people in play. You know, we've got Presley, who's our media director. She is such a stud and such a rock star. She's my right hand and taking on a lot more now that I'm on leave. But also what that does is it really helped us identify the role a little bit more, rather than it being like, okay, I just do everything. Now I get to focus on a little bit more of the vision side of things and trust that, you know, we've got people in play to execute those things. So yeah, chief brand officer, I mean, really that is bringing our story and our brand to life, working with partners. We've got some really big, cool things happening, you know, with various, you know, Black Rifle Coffee. We're working with LA Fitness. We're doing some things in the future that are, you know, require collaboration. We did, you know, a product with Podium, which was awesome to see, you know, two family brands come together. And just how those things come to life.
I got it at the games and I was like, oh, this
did
is
you?
Great.
Oh, so cool. Yeah. And, you know, of course it's cool to see our brand come to life through another brand, right? Podium is, you know, they've got their colors, but then they obviously took our colors and put that into their packaging. And so it's just cool to see those collaborations come to life. And so, you know, of course we've got our operations and the people that are actually executing on, you know, the tasks of said partnership, but then anything that deals with the brand and the storytelling and the messaging and the look and feel comes through me.
Awesome. And I love the look and brand of everything. You've done a great job with it. And moving that like to Podium and like letting them kind of take a role, and you know, obviously Matt being involved with Podium as well. It's you know, cool to see it all just kind of come together.
Yeah.
But what we have a couple questions that kind of popped in. So I like to do like a little Q&A thing on the stories. So I posed the question, you know, if anybody had any questions for you, and I had a couple people ask, so I'm going to pop into there if I can find it here.
Cool.
Okay. A good friend of mine, Krista, is our flower lady in Florida, and she goes to the gym with us, and she said, what is your favorite flower?
My favorite flower is sunflower. I've got a couple sunflower tattoos. Yep. I love sunflowers.
And the other one is from our friend Meme for Time, Earl Roderick. So what is your absolute favorite meal to cook for someone else?
Ooh, okay. To cook for someone else. Yeah, that's actually, there's very different to cook for someone else versus cook for yourself. To cook for someone else, I would say either like a brisket, cornbread type, you know, meal. I just think that who doesn't love brisket and cornbread and beans and things like that? Or I love this rack of lamb recipe that I have with a coconut gravy. And it is just, I think it's also something that likely someone's not going to cook for themselves. So it's a cool thing. Just like, you know, most of the time I don't cook a ton of fish. So when I go out to dinner, I like to order fish because it's not necessarily something that I would cook for myself. So I think that one, you know, like a rack of lamb with a coconut gravy and like grilled asparagus or something like that is just likely someone's not going to do that for themselves. And so I think that would be a really nice recipe to cook for them.
Nice. And so then for yourself, you had said there's kind of a difference between cooking for someone else and then cooking for yourself. So what is your go-to like favorite?
Go-to favorite? It's funny, Matt and I were talking about this the other day. It's like, I love breakfast, but I don't love eating breakfast on a day to day. Like if I'm going to make breakfast, I want to do like a Dutch baby and some eggs, or like, it's not necessarily something that I'm eating every day. So I think when it comes to like, oh, it's like a Saturday tradition or a Sunday morning tradition where you make this like big breakfast and it's a little bit more special than just like the everyday breakfast. Really anything breakfast. Like I love milk buns. I don't know if you've ever heard of these. They're basically like, think of like a Hawaiian, like a King's Hawaiian roll. Milk buns, I have a recipe for those and they're so fun and easy to make. And I could genuinely eat a whole tray of them, but making a breakfast sandwich on a milk bun is like next level.
What is a Dutch baby?
A Dutch baby. Oh, yeah. Just throwing that out. That is. So a Dutch baby is essentially, it's like a mix between a pancake and a crepe. Get a cast iron, super, super hot in the oven, put some butter, and then you blend up a batter in a blender. So it gets like all airy and bubbly. And then you pour it in the hot cast iron and close the oven and let it cook. And it kind of puffs up and rises. But then when it's done, it's actually like really thin. So it's like really exaggerated looking, but it's a really thin. I guess the best way to describe it is it's like, it tastes like a pancake, but it's a little bit more like the texture of a crepe. And it's very, a German pancake. And it's a showstopper, but it's super easy. So it's one of those things.
My mom used to make those all the time. And we called it a German pancake. And it almost like made like a stadium in a cast iron
And you can put like, you know, roasted berries in there, or you could make it sweet or savory, sprinkle it with a little powdered sugar or some maple syrup, some butter, like whatever. But it's one of those things. I mean, you literally make the batter in a blender and then you pour it in and that's kind of it, but it looks super fancy and like you did a lot of work. So it's one of those, like, if you want to impress people, you make a Dutch baby.
Yes. And that was her go-to. And we had like this lemon frosting that she would put on it. Lemon frosting with a little powdered sugar. Oh, it was
that so sounds amazing.
Good. It is.
Oh yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
Now I'm hungry. Awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to jump back even further, because one of the reasons I wanted you on the podcast is you and I have a thing in common. So I DJ weddings. And I heard
I knew it.
DJ weddings.
Yes. Back in the day.
How did you get into DJing weddings? And like,
oh man,
interesting to me. I'm like,
a whole lifetime ago. Yes. A whole lifetime ago. I've worn a lot of hats. I've had a lot of like really fun jobs over the years. And when I was in college, I was pretty active. I didn't play sports in college, but I was pretty active in like student leadership stuff. And so I was on student council in college, And we were hosting, or we were putting on an event called the Mr. I went to Winnick, which is Western New England College at the time. Now it's university, but in Western Mass, in Springfield College, Springfield Mass. And we were putting on the Mr. Winnick pageant. And so being part of the planning, I also emceed the event. And it's so fun. Like, I'm not a shy person. I did theater all my life. So being on a stage with a microphone, kind of like hosting this like spoofy little event with all of my friends, yeah, was just super fun. And so the DJ at the event, I think at that time I was a junior in college. And so the DJ that we had hired to run the music and do all the sound and audio, after the event, he was like, "You are a natural with a microphone. Like, would you want to work for me?" And I was like, "Doing what?" And he was like, "Well, I do." It was a, you know, very predominantly Jewish community in that area. And so he's like, "I do bar and bat mitzvahs every weekend. I do weddings, like you name it, college events," obviously, because we had hired him. So he's like, "If you want work, like, I will give you work." And I was like, okay. You know, being a college student, being like, well, that was fun. If what you're doing on the daily is anything like that, I'm in.
Yeah.
So it just started like that. You know, I'd be the weekends in college, junior and senior year. I was really just working for him. So he'd hire me to, you know, go and be at a bar mitzvah. I mean, the best part about all of that stuff is, as a college student, you know, you're working, yeah, on a Friday and Saturday night, but those parties were wrapping up at 10. I'd, yeah, you know, get back just in time to meet my friends at the bar. And it was like, I walked home, you know, with a decent amount of cash. So when I graduated college, I was actually, I got my degree in creative writing, and I did an internship at the YWCA as a grant writer. And so when I graduated college, they actually hired me. But being the YWCA, it was, I did not make any money. And then the reality set in of what my student loans were. And I actually couldn't afford to keep the job. So I had to go and find a different job. And because I had chosen to stay in Springfield and live there, I was working still for that DJ. I had mentioned to him, like, I don't know if it's going to work out. Like, I need to make a lot more money just to pay my student loans. And he was like, "Well, why don't you just come and work for me full time?" I was like, "I can do that. Like, I can be a full-time DJ." And he was like, "What do you think I do?" Yeah. I was like, "Oh, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I started working for him full-time. And I did that for like 3.5 years.
That's
and
awesome.
It got to the point where obviously I was, you know, competent enough to be able to do it on my own. And it wasn't just like, you know, working for a couple $100. I was, you know, booking my own gigs. And yeah, it was a ton of fun. It was, I think what I got from that, like, that was hands down the most like impressionable job I ever had. And that boss in particular, you know, he told me, because I remember being like, "I just got this degree and I'm going to go and be a DJ." And I was like, "I have no idea what I'm doing." Like, I had just been showing up until then and like kind of helping, yeah, and really just like being the person on the mic, like talking, you know, running kids at bar mitzvahs through games and things like that. And he was like, "Listen, I can teach you how to set up. I can teach you how to like orchestrate an actual event. I can't teach how to be you to anybody." So he was like, "You know, you can learn anything about this job, but I can't teach someone to care the way that you care, to, you know, have your personality, to have your work ethic, all that stuff." And I've actually taken that into everything I've done, where, you know, we launched an app and a company, and I was like, "Well, I have no idea what, you know, this stuff looks like," but it's like, I can learn any job, but nobody's going to come at it with, you know, the care, the work ethic, the, you know, everything that I'm bringing to the table. So yeah, that was, I mean, such a fun job. And I actually, you know, that will always stick with me. That one little thing that he said. So yeah, very grateful for that job.
That's awesome. Cause I mean, that's similar to how I fell into being a DJ. My very first job ever was working at a skating rink, and I was the only kid there that didn't know how to skate. Like, I applied for this job and didn't know how to skate.
That's, and they're amazing. Like,
"You can hand out skates at the counter,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, how about you go up there and play some music and, you know,
oh, so fun.
Are you okay with being on a microphone?" I'm like, "I guess." So got on a microphone, was putting people through games and things like that and playing music. And then I'm just like, oh, I can mix these songs together and I can make things happen and kind of build a party at the skating rink. And then left there, you know, I was there for maybe 2 years, ended up learning how to skate. So, you know, just
kudos.
I did learn how to skate at that, but, you know, started DJing. And then from there, I hooked up with a buddy of mine and he was doing nightclubs and he was DJing for a fight night. It was amateur boxing.
Oh, dang.
And he's like, hey, come here, play music. Da, 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 da. Here's a microphone. Let's play around. And then ended up meeting somebody else who was doing weddings. And like, yeah, it's easy. Come do this. And what a way to make money and actually make pretty good money for not good a lot money. Of time.
Yeah. I was making a lot of money at a very young age, and sadly, I didn't know the value of saving it yet.
Of course.
So there's that. But, you know, we learn. We live and learn.
But you had such an experience. I did.
It's awesome. Great experience. Yeah.
What is your, I'm going to say, pet peeve for weddings? Like, and
I know.
Like,
I'm such a critic.
Oh, me too.
Like, I am a very, yeah. I think one thing that people... don't understand too, at least for me, it sounds like you did get some nightclub experience. You were mixing the type of wedding DJ, you know, because everyone's like, they hear that you're a DJ and they're like, what's your DJ name? I'm like, it's not really how it happens in a wedding scene. You know, you're not like DJ Sammy Money is up on the mic, right? It's like, it's very professional. It's like, hey, this is, you know, I don't know. I don't even remember how I would like introduce myself, but it was more, you're orchestrating an evening, not necessarily, at least for me, I was not mixing music. There definitely are some wedding DJs that do that as well, but it's more like you're setting a vibe. You're, you know, people are sitting down, or, you know, cocktail hour is a certain type of music, and obviously all directed by the couple. If they are really into reggae, well then, yeah, that's like, they're going to want reggae at their cocktail hour. Whereas like, maybe I would be playing more of like some classics and like some Frank Sinatra or whatever, like just depends on the vibe. But it's like my pet peeve at a wedding is like, you have to like guide people through what you want them to do. So you set a certain vibe during cocktail hour and dinner. Right. And it's like, it's very subdued and it's calm music and it's, once again, driven by the couple, but there's a certain vibe. Then when you're getting into like the dancing stuff, you can't just start with Usher. Yeah. You have to like, you gotta like build up to that. Yeah. So you got to start with the classics, right? Like if you think about the people that are at weddings, it's like, you've got the family crowd that are maybe the older aunts and uncles, the grandparents that are likely going to leave early. So you got to play their hits first. Then you've got the party crowd and the like the friends and, you know, the college roommates and whatever of the bride and groom that are going to stay until the end. So you let them like hang and then you play that stuff later. So yeah, I'm always like, you got to start with like Michael Jackson, Pretty Young Thing, and like Stevie Wonder, isn't she like whatever it is, Sign, Seal, Deliver. It's like you start with the things that the older generation crowd is going to dig, going to enjoy, going to get up and dance. When they leave, then you like transition to the, you know, more the hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just me though. Just me.
Yeah. No, that is the blueprint of a wedding. And I would tell brides and grooms that all the time. I'd be like, you can do whatever you want, whatever you want to play. I will play it.
Like, fact.
Like if you're paying me to play your music, it's not my party.
Totally.
But I've done this a while. Here's some kind of, you know, ways to make this happen and do it and get it going. So it's, Wad Zombie says you got to wait till people get drunk.
Totally. I mean, you definitely, there is something about that. People need that liquid encouragement to be like, you know what, I'm about to drop it low and the lights aren't even off yet. So like, we got to ease them into it.
And that was one of my questions all the time, is I would sit down with bride and groom. I'd be like, okay, let me ask this question right off the bat. Is it a dry wedding or is there going to be alcohol? Because it determines how I need to build this. If they're going to be drunk by 9:30, oh, we can do whatever. And
totally.
They're going to get up and dance. But if they're not drinking at all, it's going to take a little bit more work to kind of get, you know, get the, juices flowing.
And it depends too. Like, if the bride and groom are not interested in dancing, well, that's also going to, I mean, I've been to plenty of weddings where the bride and groom don't dance, and thankfully their guests are the party, but a lot of it is driven by the bride and groom. Like, people feed off of what they're doing. So if the bride and groom are having some cocktails at cocktail hour and, you know, are the first ones out on the dance floor, well, that's going to encourage their guests to, not necessarily that they have to be drinking, but I just mean that, like, if the bride and groom are setting a party vibe,
yep,
then that's going to encourage their guests to be like, oh yeah, we are breaking it down on the dance floor later. That's great.
Yeah. One of the things I like to do is I tell the bride and groom, I'd be like, listen, this is all about you, but I also understand that some people don't like the spotlight. So mm-hmm. I can be the spotlight or I can be the shadow, whatever you need me to be. So mm-hmm. if you guys want time to like get away and get up, you know, kind of not be the spotlight of the party, let me know. And I will take the floor and get like people up and moving and doing all that sort of stuff while you guys, you know, steal a moment away, because mm-hmm. you're not gonna get too many moments like that night. And then when you're ready, come back in and we'll, you know, transition it and make it happen. But it's like, this party is all about you, you know, whether you like it or not, because I did have a lot of brides and grooms that were like, oh, we don't like to be the center of attention.
It's a tough day for that.
This is kind a tough of, day. Yeah, this is kind of the center of attention, you know. Hub. This is all about you guys. They're all here for you.
Yeah.
So a lot of fun. Is there any like one moment that like stands out that was like, oh my gosh, like any like story that you have from DJing that just kind of.
I think one of the first weddings I did solo, I introduced the bride and groom, and I maybe like, I can't remember what their last name was now to retell the story, but I like mispronounced it a little bit and I just felt really bad.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, I mean, that is like, that's your one job. At the end of the day, like your one job, if you don't play all of the music that they wanted, or if like your transitions were a little sloppy or what, like no one's going to remember that. Who cares?
Yeah.
But the introduction of the bride and groom is like kind of a big deal. And yeah, I mean, I was like 19 and nervous and like all, who knows? Yeah, that one always, I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. That one was a little rough, but it was also like, it was a very weird wedding. It was like an 11 a.m. ceremony and then like, you know, a lunch, and like they were dancing at like 2 p.m. Oh. Nobody really danced. It was like a really odd, you know, anyways, there was a lot of things stacked up that I'm like, wow, I got my work cut out for me. And then, yeah I kind of like mispronounced their
name. If
it's
a daytime wedding, it's always tough.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody wants to dance at 2 p.m.
No.
Yeah. So
no.
I have this question that popped up. So Elise says, you know, obviously hope you and the baby are doing well in the family. She had mm-hmm. your cookbook out the other day for a granola recipe. Is there mm-hmm. a volume 2 coming?
You know what? Currently, no. Currently, there is no plan for a next cookbook. I would love in the future. Man, what a labor of love that project was. That was a very massive project, and it took about 2 years, a little more, to bring it all together. So we're moving on to, you know, we've got HWPO fully in the mix and excited to see where that goes. So as of right now, cookbook number 2 is probably something that, if I do choose to do another one, it'd be, you know, a couple years from now.
Gotcha. I do a baby food episode, like,
yeah,
baby food. You know,
maybe
how to feed kids healthy, but not like just throw them, you know, all, you know, chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I know.
It's so hard.
I'm sure. Well, I've got time.
You do.
To get there. Yeah,
you have time. So any big things coming up that you're excited about, you know, kind of as we wrap this thing up, and what kind of on the horizon? You know, I know everything is a day-to-day process of like just kind of learning with the baby and, you know, the new things that she's doing. And, like you said, they're grabbing your hand to now like little changes and things like that.
Totally.
So like, you know, are you looking ahead, or are you just kind of staying in the moment and saying, hey, let's just enjoy this day by day?
I mean, definitely a little bit of both. Doing our best, right? Like trying to enjoy all of the little moments while also you know, I was really surprised how slow to fitness, coming back into fitness was for me. My body took a long time to recover from birth itself. Pretty drastic, experience. And then of course, once the body felt good, it was more like, you know, still adjusting to lack of sleep and schedules. And like, you know, she's not yet on a routine. I'm so impressed that she is napping this entire time right now, but it's a crapshoot, you know, it's, and that's fine. It's just kind of, you're at the mercy. So it's hard to plan things, hard to schedule, and, you know, fitness being one of those. And so grateful for Matt this week. You know, he has been similarly, you know, he ruptured his knee at the beginning of this year and did ACL, MCL, LCL, like the whole reconstruction. And so he's on a slow climb back and starting to gain some momentum in his fitness. And, you know, he was like, he's been super encouraging, just being like, hey, listen, let's just, you know, get her down and we'll just get down there right away. It's been so nice having somebody really encouraging me. I can totally understand how people really struggle to come back into fitness after having a baby, mainly just from like, as soon as your body is ready, you're like, your schedule isn't and your mind isn't. And so, yeah, I think one of the things that has been super cool, at least in the last couple days, really, Matt had said something that really stuck with me that he was talking about for himself that I'm like, oh, this totally applies to me. You know, with his rehab, with his knee, he's like, the silver lining is I don't think that I've ever related to our members more, like related to people that are just like trying to get into fitness. He's like, I have such a huge fitness background and it is hard for me to come back from such a drastic injury. And it's kind of the same for me, is like, I have always just loved fitness. Like, I've loved working out. It's just fun. I never did anything with it. I never competed, you know, at least I did for funsies, but like, it was always just for fun. And right now, you know, the last week, I remember being like, working out is just not fun. Like, it just, it hurts. I'm tired. Like, it's not the same. And so it's kind of, you're like mourning, you know, what you once had and all this stuff. And yeah, it's been really hard. And I think him telling me that about himself, of like, you know, I've never related to our members more. And I think that that's just like, what's going to help us continue to be successful here. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm the same. Like, yeah. I've never related to moms more, or to just the general population of people that are like trying, want to get into fitness, but it's so hard. They're at such a deficit, or their schedules are crazy, or they're balancing so many things. I'm like, oh, I see you. I relate to you now. I didn't before. Yeah. It was like impossible for me to understand. You know, I my program is Sweat. I write, and that is like, that's what I've always done. It's 45 minutes start to finish, no barbells. Set the clock and go. I've never needed that more. It was just something that like was what I enjoyed before. Now it's like, I need that. Even today, I wasn't sure if I was going to get through the whole thing. I ended up having to cut it at 35 because the baby was kind of waking, and it was like, okay, I got to make sure she's settled before, you know, obviously Matt is here and is kind of like on watch in case she wakes up during this podcast and is going to like feed her and hang with her and whatever. But, yeah. You know, I've never related more to our members, and I've never needed the program that I've been writing for years. I had no idea that I was going to need this. That's been super cool.
And then it helps you actually write differently, knowing kind of, you know, the other side of it. And Elise says, totally. You know, of course, you know, breastfeeding will also have your hormones jacked up. And she said, your best is enough. And there are days when it's just like, you know, you showed up, and that's really all that we can do.
Yeah. I posted something the other day, like, you know, I was wearing the shirt that we launched at the games this year. Every year we do a different design that is, we call it our legacy tee, our legacy collection. It's very much, embodies, you know, Matt's 5 championships, his, you know, the bull as a representation of that, and things like, you know, there's all these little things. And, I've never been more proud of our brand's core values than right now. You know, it's something similarly to that. It's like, we live them every day, but I've never needed them the way that I need them right now. And so for anybody that doesn't know, HWPO Training's core values are show up, work hard, and make yourself proud. All things that derived from things that Matt said and lived out through his career, and things that relate. So, you know, obviously he was doing that to become the five-time CrossFit Games champion. I'm just trying to do that to, you know, be the best me I can be. So that way I'm the best mom, I'm the best, you know, employee, I'm the best coworker, all of those things. And so it's just, I've just never been so grateful that those are our core values. When, you know, I finished a workout the other day and I had my shirt and I was looking at it and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad. Like, thank God this is on this shirt right now. Like, I just needed this, right? To just look down and see our core values was just super helpful. So yeah,
absolutely.
I'm excited to be getting back into it. And yeah, totally. Like, my best is enough. I definitely don't feel great all the time, and that's okay. And that'll come back. And I think just showing up, putting in some good work, and being proud of the fact that, like, you know what? Some days it's going to be 10 minutes. Some days I'm going to get an hour and a half, and like, that's okay. And then, you know, other days it's like, we're going to go for a walk and, yep, you know, put the baby on. We do that every day, but sometimes that is just what it's going to be for that day. And that's okay. And yeah, it feels good to be coming back. I mean, I was pretty shocked at how hard, because it's been such a staple in my life for so many years. I thought it would just be like, I'm going to get back into fitness 3 weeks after having a baby. And it was like, whoo, that was not the case.
Yeah, no, it's that. And of course that first day back is always just like, whoo.
I mean, such a foreign, yeah. It was the same thing. Thankfully you experience it a little bit in pregnancy to kind of like, you know, your body is a foreign entity to you. It's like what you once were able to do, you're not, and you know, movements are restricted, and obviously your capacity for things are restricted. And so you at least settle into the fact that, like, hey, your body is not what you once knew it to be. But then you have the baby and it's still that. And I think that was like, you say it now and it's like, duh, but in the moment you're like, oh, I don't have this baby in me anymore. I'm back. And it's like, oof, No, you're not. No, but we'll get there.
And have you found you had to like kind of adapt things differently now? Because your body has changed. You've created another human. It is different now. It is not the same as what it was.
Thankfully, no. I put in a lot of work. I think I was 3 weeks postpartum. I started seeing a pelvic floor PT, and really put a lot of work into, you know, rehabbing. I think what's wild is that isn't a standard practice, a standard care practice postpartum. You really have to seek it out for yourself versus like you go to your OB for a 6 week checkup and they're like, yeah, it looks good. I'm like, oh, I know that it's not, because I've been working on it for a couple weeks here. But anyways, I think that taking the time to really make sure that, you know, I was healed properly and working on, you know, those deep core muscles and really regaining some strength there. So that way I could come back and do everything that I wanted to do. You know, it's slow. It's going to take some time, but I think it's worth it, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for coming on the show. I know, you know, kind of running on time, and you know that baby's going to wake up here soon.
She's crushing it right now. I'm so proud.
Are you guys going to make it down to Miami this year for Wodapalooza?
I don't think so. We are going to be in Hawaii this year.
Gotcha.
We are escaping the winter months, and we're going to go and do some work in Hawaii. I think Matt is a little on the fence if he's going to go.
Okay.
But I think, I know our team is going to be there. I know, you know, there's going to be some things. I think we're still a little on the fence. So it's up in the air. We'll keep the people waiting and
there
guessing.
You go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and doing this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Congratulations again to you and Matt.
Thanks.
It's awesome to, you know, kind of see you guys move into this next stage of life and, you know, take it the way that you guys have taken it and just crushing it. So
we're pretty obsessed with her. She's cute. I mean, I know I'm biased, but she's cute and she's so sweet. We really are so, so grateful and so lucky that she is such a, you know, mild tempered and sweet, sweet baby. So yeah, we're loving it. And thank you so much for having me. And so fun. Absolutely. So fun to chat through all the things that have been going on and, you know, share some wedding DJ experiences. And oh man, good times.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much. And we'll chat soon. I know.
Thank you.
Maybe not Miami, but you know, there'll be more events, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'd love this. This is, I'm always down to chat. So yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate awesome. You having me.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to the Wex Appeal Podcast. Get connected by heading to Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Wex Appeal Podcast for more bonus buffoonery and to get the full Wex experience. Plus, make sure to subscribe on your podcast app today. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time for more barbells, beats, and buffoonery.